Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bruce Levine.
What are the personal challenges of John Lester after going through one spring training and now the reality of another?
I think the biggest challenge is just the unknown. I don't want to get ramped up for an unknown date and, you know, kind of have to turn it back down. So it's a fine line of keeping the arm moving, playing some catch, doing some things, you know, not necessarily, you know, maybe getting off the mound right this second. But I think you just, once we get this date, then you can kind of, you know, I've been doing enough stuff to be able to build. And I feel like you're just kind of, you know, mentally waiting for that date. And once that date hits, it's like, okay, now I go.
Mark Grody.
Are you throwing 94, 95 still? Let's get down to it.
I don't know, bro. You tell me. You want to get in the box, Mark?
Absolutely. I'm a righty, man. Righties hit lefties, right? So I think I can probably tell you
if I can hit the strike zone, so I might be hitting you.
I think I could ground out the second against you.
On 670 The Score.
Good morning. Happy Memorial Day. Yeah, it's me and Bruce. Bruce Levine, Mark Grody, in collectively as a tandem, as a duo for the Dan Bernstein Show. Dan's got like 25 years of vacation time coming. So, you know, we'll be around and we will be here, Bruce and I, until noon today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score, with a ton to do, lots of good guests, which we will get into here in just a little bit. On this sun-kissed, I've got 73 degrees right now in downtown Chicago, Bruce, on a holiday that doesn't really feel like a holiday. It feels like any other day in this pandemic era in which we live. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Mark. Yeah, I kind of feel the same way, you know, being inside for 2 months in a row and, social distancing, being safe with wearing a mask everywhere. Every day seems to be the same. So from that perspective, I'm hoping that everybody out there has a terrific holiday, that you respect all the rules and regulations that we want so we can get the city and the suburbs back to where we want them to be. And get back to some semblance of life as we knew it before the middle of March when this all took place. In the meantime, as Mark said, we're going to continue to have a fun show for you. You know me as the baseball guy at the station. I covered the Bulls for 25 years. I covered the NFL for 20. So still keeping up with that. Mark and I will talk to Brad Biggs of the Tribune, our expert here at the Score on the Bears front. We'll also talk to Casey Johnson from NBC Sports Chicago about the Bulls and a little last talk for the last dance. And also, the one and only Les Grobstein will join us for some Memorial Day fun.
Right. And as I was just saying to myself before the show started, why are we having Grobber on? You know why we're having Les Grobstein on? Because we love Les Grobstein, and the beauty of the Grobber, Bruce, is that when we have him on, we don't necessarily have to have a plan. I mean, you want to fuel him with things and ideas, but the beauty of Grobber is he can go so deep with you on any sport that you want, even if it's a sport that doesn't exist anymore in Chicago.
Well, and, you know, of course we know that, you know, I've worked with Les for almost 35 years, off and on different stations, and as a colleague, and you ask one question, you just sit back and, you know, relax and wait for the break.
That's exactly right. All right, before we get into the baseball, because there is news and there probably will be news tomorrow, I want to ask you this, though. We both, you and I, it, as you mentioned in your resume there, we both continue to have a lot going on with our respective sports. You with the baseball beat, me with football and the Bears. But my brain has gone into a different mode. I have adjusted to life without sports, or I should say specifically, life without actual games being played, that somehow my brain has protected me from totally and completely missing them. I do miss them. I wish they were being played. Don't get me wrong. It's better for all of us if they were. But I guess for some reason I've been okay, and maybe because the NFL keeps me busy. I'm wondering how you have been, because you are used to, for years of your life, decades of your life, to working every single damn day during this period, including today, which is Memorial Day, when you would have been probably working a very long day at one of our ballparks.
Yeah, you know what? That's a great question, Mark. I don't think anyone besides you and I care, but I'll answer it anyway. And that is, I'm usually, like you said, 140 to 150 games a year, both the White Sox and Cubs. So holidays, I'm always at a park. So yeah, this is totally different. But I'll tell you, I'm trying to keep the same regimen every day, like I was still going to the park. I'd get up early, shower, you know, work out. You know, do all my work online, keep up with the phone calls, which is what I've normally done for the last 38 or 39 years. You know, continue to, you know, check in with all the people at the station, check in with Mitch, you know, a few times a day, and, you know, stay on top of my sport, which is baseball and whatever is trying to transpire here between now and hopefully opening sometime in July. So it's been, you know, it's only been successful for me because I've kept the same regimen. I have more time to work out, which is great. I have more time to eat carbs, which isn't so good. but the combination of the two have kept me about 6 pounds over my playing weight at this point.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah.
That's
great when you're working out 90 minutes to 2 hours a day.
So
you know you're doing some damage in the middle there somewhere.
Yeah, don't eat the whole box of that angel hair. You know, when you get it off the shelf, just you got to limit that.
That is my problem. When I buy the box of cookies, the Oreos, the vanilla Oreos, it's like it has no shot.
Yeah, there's no reason not to eat the entire sleeve or sleeves.
I would say a sleeve a day, yes.
Sleeve a day adds a pound a day, and here we are, 6 pounds overweight. It is Mark Rohde and Bruce Levine with you, and we always like and hope for your participation in the show. We're here till noon, 312-644-6767. We are textable always, 24 hours a day here at The Score at 670-11, 670-11. We are both available on Twitter. You could find Bruce Levine there, at MLB Bruce Levine. I am on Twitter as well, at Mark Rohde Sports. We will check all of those various modems throughout this show here on The Score. Well, Bruce, MLB is expected to submit its economic proposal to the Players Association tomorrow. You've reported that. Many have reported that now. Hopefully, with a salary structure that would please all parties over what, as a rough draft, would be probably an 82-game season. Considering how far apart things have seemed to be, is it realistic to think that they will actually get something agreed upon tomorrow as far as how everybody gets paid, making everybody happy? Is it possible, Brewster?
No, I don't think one day, but I think it has to be done within four days to a week. I think it's essential that it happens between now and June 1st, because it's going to take the good 10 days to get housing for people, getting players to certain cities, to certain spring training sites, depending on what team they play for and where they go. And also, more importantly, what happens to those families of those people? Where do they go? Do they wait for spring training to end? Do they end up going to that city that they play in right away and set up housing while the husband goes to spring training somewhere else? There's 1,200 answers that have to be satisfied there, and that is the 40-man rosters of all 30 teams. And not to mention the front offices, all the personnel, including the medical and the training staffs. It's just, it's a huge, huge situation. It's going to take at least 10 days to 2 weeks to get everybody together, travel plans, and then go. So I'm saying this week is pretty close to drop dead. I would say by the first couple days of June, if it's not done, baseball is going to have a problem getting back the way they want to by the 4th of July.
You know, and I'm glad that you mentioned some of the other people involved in this, because we're so centered on what the players and the owners and who's getting what piece of the pie. And oftentimes, I do at least, not clearly not you, I leave out thinking about the families and the other mm-hmm. logistical parts of it and what they need and how structured that will have to be. And then that brings me to the, back to the 67-page health and safety protocol, which we've talked about with the eliminating post-game showers, high five, you know, coaches getting too close to players at first and third with those respective coaches, spitting, tobacco, seeds, the whole thing. So it's not just putting the plan in place and satisfying all parties, whether it's the family and those ancillary things. It's then actually executing the plan, because I think that all the leagues, all the sports have done pretty well actually at setting forth these plans in terms of their detail, the language that they're using, and as you said, now getting into some of the minutiae as far as the families are concerned. And this was a question that we posed to Ron Coomer last week, and it pertains, Bruce, exactly to the 67-page health and safety protocol. And my, you know, question to him was, will they follow the 67-page protocol? And here's Coomer right here.
Yeah, I don't know. I read them, and I'm like, for somebody who, you know, played 17 years, and, you know, I hate to say this on the air, but spitting was part of the program when you're playing a baseball game. If they're going to tell you not to spit, who's going to police that? Right? You can't chew seeds. Really? You're going to tell Jason Hayward, sorry, you can't stop at the store, pick up a bag of seeds, and chew them on the field when you're playing. Good luck. Mm. I think some of these things are, I understand them, but, you know, good luck with some of those things. I just don't see them being working out. And the same thing with the showering. Could you imagine playing a game in St. Louis in 100 degrees, coming in off the field, and then waiting for 45 minutes for the bus? In your uniform that you've drenched through, and you can't take a cool shower before you get on a team bus?
It's Ron Coomer on The Score last week with me and Dan McNeil. And Bruce, I mean, that's just a small part, and I get it. The things that he's talking about are not that important, but I think that is symbolic of all of this, of all of the rules that families will have to follow, that players will have to follow, that broadcasts will have to follow. Are we meticulous enough? Are they meticulous enough to actually follow this and make it all work?
Well, you know, not taking a shower all day reminds me of day camp. And this is the time of year when we started day camps. Remember that? So, you know, I went to Illini Sports Camp, and, you know, we went all day without showering. But it certainly is nothing to joke about. It's the truth is that, you know, athletes probably shower three times a day. So from the perspective of all that, it's, you know, there are a lot of things that are wishful and hopeful that it can be done, but they should not be game breakers, right, Mark? I mean, it shouldn't be something that stops the guy from saying, well, if I can't shower, I'm not coming to camp, I'm not going to play, you know. But But just the task of the medical people, the front offices, and, you know, VJ, the traveling secretary of the Cubs, Ed, the traveling secretary of the White Sox. Can you imagine what their lives are going to be all about? We know how hard they work and how they prepare travel, team travel, and everything for the players. Can you imagine what this is going to be like for them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they have to be so accountable as it is without COVID-19, without the meticulous testing that is going to happen. And now I would imagine that they're going to need a lot of help with that, that there will be, you know, we talk about cuts in staff. I imagine they're going to have to add some staff, will sports teams in general, to, I don't know, not police it, but to make sure everybody is healthy and to make sure everybody is tested and to go through the proper protocol. That ain't a job for one man.
You're right. And, you know, the other area that I was thinking about that's going to need to be beefed up, and that is, you know, we've talked about the medical and how essential it is going to be to have, you know, gone through those 67 pages that was offered from the owners to the players to, you know, kind of digest and go through and understand the medical protocol that will be necessary. What about the emotional and the mental protocol? How many extra people will there be needed there for support of people during these difficult times when they're going into uncharted waters as these players, products, and guinea pigs for sports starting in July? Not just baseball, but, you know, the NBA starting up, certainly NFL camps sometime in July and August, you know, the NHL. This is something of a psychological test that's never been presented to young people and players before.
Yeah, I mean, because they've got obviously they have the physical part planned with the operations and the 67-page protocol and 10,000 COVID-19 tests per week. But yeah, the other parts of it, this is such unprecedented, uncharted territory as well. If we can, Bruce, let's talk a little bit about let's get into the money a little bit here from both sides. The union believes that the players are owed, you know, the prorated salaries based on the number of games played, according to an earlier agreement. And Tony Clark, who is the union chief, has said on more than one occasion that it is closed for discussion and the players will not consider any more reductions in salary. Now, the owners have been tough as well. According to the Associated Press, MLB has calculated that it will lose $640,000 per game on average if those prorated salaries are paid and fans aren't permitted in ballparks. So, in other words, publicly you have two sides that are talking tough, as will happen in any labor negotiation. Which side is going to... I'm trying to figure out why either side would give in when they start to go back to the table tomorrow and discuss this.
Well, it's for the life of the sport and to keep baseball a viable sport. When people, Mark, have gone through a whole year without the game of baseball, they'll certainly find other things to do, right? So you don't want to plant that seed if you're Major League Baseball or the Major League Players Association of, hey, these fans got through a whole year without us. What makes us believe that we're going to be attractive to them when we do come back, and in what form in 2021? So cooler heads better prevail, because if they don't, they run risking the viability of the sport, not only now, but in the future, as far as the likability and the watchability of this particular sport. They're the first ones out, okay? They're the ones, first ones most likely that are going to be playing sports again, right? You know, it'll be them and the NBA at some point in July, hopefully. So if they're not there, there will be other sports people watch. There will be other things people do. And if they don't realize that baseball could take a hit that's even bigger than what occurred in 1994-95 when they had that last strike that wiped out the World Series in 1994, then they're going to have to pay the price. And baseball is struggling mightily for the proper marketing of the sport and the likability and the promotion of their players. Something like this could be a crucial blow to that happening and could impact the sport for many years to come if they don't get it together.
All right, let's talk more about that here after the break, specifically the other side of that, the antithesis, where maybe if there is to be a season this year, the 82 games, maybe it sparks higher ratings than baseball has had in the past, and maybe it changes it for the better in the future. I also have a question I have for the fans that Bruce and I were talking about before the show, and it regards your what you as a fan of sport, and in this case baseball, what you are willing to tolerate, and is your tolerance level higher for modified sports and changed sports because of what we're all going through right now? I will give you that question after the break. Also, coming up at 10 o'clock, KC Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Chicago, the latest on the NBA and the Bulls. A boatload of Chicago Bears talk with Brad Biggs at 11 and then the one and only Les Grobstein at 11:40. Bruce Levine, Mark Rohde here with you until noon in for Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I see it as a great opportunity in terms of innovation, and maybe there is a chance to not only, you know, do something cool and new, but also recapture some of the things that fans valued about the past. You know, whether, you know, I came in a time. You think about all the things that have like been eliminated almost by analytics, right? You know, stealing bases is greatly reduced, and hit and runs, and all the shifts now, and there's a lot of things that have just changed the game, and that is, you know, it's going to evolve, of course, but there could be elements that you say, well, I wish there was starting pitching that went nine. Now that probably won't happen this year because of the shortened, whatever you want to call, spring training, I guess.
That's analyst and former Chicago Cubs player Doug Glanville on the Mully and Haw show here on The Score from this past Friday. Mark Rohde and Bruce Levine in for Dan Bernstein and the Dan Bernstein Show until noon today, which time Lawrence Holmes will be in doing his regular noon to two program. And we, Bruce and I, are going to talk Bears in a bit and the latest version of the NFL pushing forward, plus KC Johnson talking NBA and the Bulls at the top of the hour. And Bruce, once we get through all of the painful, meticulous planning of baseball and the muck, that's M, of the labor negotiations in baseball, which are expected to resume tomorrow, there will be a different product on the field. There'll be 80 games, expanded playoffs, different divisions, regionalized, home games, all the modifications that are existing, perhaps, probably, no fans in the stands. And I know you and I have talked about this before, but I want to know where you are on it. I do believe that if baseball is played, that it will be more interesting than ever, not just because people are starving for any kind of sport. That's going to add to the ratings, of course. Everybody is desperate for it, and we all need it, and I put that in air quotes. But I also think that with the urgency of an 80-game schedule, expanded playoffs, the interest will be there in a different way, different eyeballs, more eyeballs on the sport that could suit it well even into the future. And I'm not saying tear it down and change it and have 80-game schedules every year. I get it. That ain't going to happen. But I think at least for this year, Bruce, they might learn some things about the popularity of the sport. Where are you on that?
I'm with you 100%. I think radio and TV ratings are going to go sky high because of the fact that, you know, there's no rolling into the season. You're going to be starting around the 4th of July. That's usually the second benchmark in a baseball season. You have Memorial Day, 4th of July, and then you have Labor Day. Mark, imagine if a team starts out an 82-game season, something like 5-13 or something mm-hmm. like that, and understanding that you've already played, you know, 20% of your season. Okay, or 25% of your season if you get up to, you know, 25 to 30 games. That's it, you know. There's none of, well, we're going to, don't worry, we have plenty of time to come back. The urgency of managing, the urgency of playing, the urgency of front offices to make sure that they get it right away. You're going to have teams, you're probably going to have, if it's an expanded playoff is the way that they're talking about it, with possibly 14 teams of the 30 making it, you're going to have a lot of surprise teams that have a really great chance at making the playoffs. You're also creating interest in at least half of the cities in September, where normally you're only going to have a third of the cities that are going to be of interest to people in September when football starts. So you're going to have that captivating perspective of the sport, keeping those fans in those cities interested in baseball when football starts, which is going to be a key element to keeping the sport viable and interested, an interested object over these 3 months that they play this year going into the playoffs.
There's another really interesting part, and this gets down to the actual baseball. We were talking about this yesterday, and specifically one of our teams that you could circle and use the example for, the Chicago Cubs. With the expanded playoffs, as you mentioned, where they would do seven teams from each league, however that is formatted, 14 teams altogether, you will have more teams that will believe they are viable for the playoffs. I don't know how the trade deadline would work in an 82-game schedule, but my guess is that the Cubs, whatever plans they had for potentially breaking things up or making a dramatic move with their core, no matter whom it was centered on, and we know that there was so much talk about Chris Bryant, and that's pretty much been deleted. But that changes the game for lots of teams that maybe thought at some point during the season, well, we're good, but we're not quite good enough to compete with Team X. So we're going to break it up and do a rolling rebuild. Now, a team like the Cubs, they probably will keep the band together and go forward in earnest. And philosophies suddenly change atop the Cubs hierarchy with Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer.
Well, I mean, you make a great point about the trade deadline. When is that going to be? Will there be a...
Will there be, you know, right.
Yeah. Normally, it's July 31st. That's going to be... I don't know if they adhere to that. You know, if they start July 4th, doesn't seem realistic. But what's really not realistic is adding players that make significant money, okay? Maybe teams that don't feel they're going to be in it after a month or 6 weeks try to sell off some players that... Are making a lot of money because of the economics of it, or more than likely, teams are just not going to be able to afford players. They're not going to be able to afford trading young players in a half, you know, type of season where you know it's going to count, but it's going to be over quickly. Are you going to trade those two prospects for Chris Bryant? Knowing you're only going to have a year and change of Chris Bryant left. Those are some of the things that will have to be answered. My guess is there won't be a lot of movement because of the truncated season, and that you will see teams lining up with who they have and going forward. In the case of the Cubs, you know, it will be Bryant, it will be Baez, it'll be Schwarber, it'll be Rizzo, with only a year from November to go before their contracts lapse and they become potential free agents.
Yeah, so, I mean, it does change the game a little bit and creates complications that we don't even have answers to, and I don't know if GMs and presidents of baseball operations have all the answers right now either. Here is the question, though, that I wanted to ask our listeners, and this is, I genuinely want your feedback on this, and you can call us, as always, at 312-644-6767, and our text lines are open at 670-11, but I would love to hear from you again, 312-644-6767. I am curious about this purely from a fan's perspective, which Bruce and I are separated from. The question is, how much are you willing to put up with in order to have your sport return? In other words, are you tolerant towards this labor disagreement because of the incredibly unique circumstances, more tolerant towards that? And does your tolerance carry over to scenarios like the dreaded scenario of start and stop? Someone gets the virus, they got to shut it down for 2 weeks, and then they restart it again. So to the fans, are you just happy to be here, or have you set the bar higher? Are you okay with expecting things to potentially go wrong, or are you just going to shake your head and walk away? I am curious as to what the fans want, are expecting, or if you're expecting very little. 312-644-6767, textable at 6711. Bruce, from doing the Inside the Clubhouse show like you do all year, have you gotten any kind of feeling from your fans, from the baseball fans in Chicago and across the country, about what they want, what they are expecting, or are they just kind of wanting to know if the damn game is going to be played?
You know, I can't speak for everyone, of course, but I'm pretty sure that the hardcore baseball fan just wants their sport back and will be happy with a game played by their local teams against other teams with the passion, hopefully, that they've always put into it. Without the fans, we don't know how that's going to show up on a daily basis. But, you know, we've watched some of the dribs and drabs of how the Korean League have attempted to go about their sport, you know, baseball there, and how, you know, how fans have responded to it. I think that the baseball fan is going to be happy with whatever closest semblance to what the game has been about in the past. And the game on the field shouldn't be that much different. You know, will it lack energy because of no fans? Certainly. But will the players still be going to beat the junk out of the other guy? I think you'll see that. You know, these are professionals. They're great players. And, you know, watching a home run or listening to Pat and Ron call it on the Score and the Cubs radio network, it's still going to be pretty darn exciting. So from that, I'm, you know, all the minutiae around it, I'm hoping, you know, greater minds than ours figure that out, and we just have the sport back here in the next few weeks.
312-644-6767, 6711 is the way to text. What are you willing to tolerate? And I'll add another layer to the question. Are you actually, and it's okay, baseball fans, to say this, are you actually kind of excited to see how the 82-game scenario would play out with an expanded playoffs of 7 teams from each league? Is it actually something that you're kind of privately looking forward to? 312-644-6767, the number. Casey Johnson, top of the hour, but we want to hear from you. Mark Grody, Bruce Levine, in for Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
The game has no chance of being restored to where they want it to go until 2023. Be realistic, rebuild it, and they won't do it. And if they end up not playing the rest of this year, this is not 94-95. Cal Ripken ain't walking back through that door again. It's to a sport that is declining in a lot of ways, unfortunately, not in my mind, but in a lot of ways. I mean, they have a chance to do what could be irreparable damage.
What? Peter Gammons with Mully and Haw this past Thursday right here on 670 The Score. Mully and Haw, 5 to 9 every morning. I'm Mark Grody. He is Bruce Levine. We are here with you until noon today, in for Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Casey Johnson joins us at the top of the hour, 10 o'clock, 15 minutes from now. And we have added Jay Zawoski to our roster to talk about the Blackhawks and the NHL. They have a plan in place, too, for a potential return. Jay will fill in the blanks for us at 10:20 on that. Bruce, I want to get back to our question here in just a second, and that question is to our baseball fans at 312-644-6767. What are you willing to tolerate throughout this modified baseball schedule? Are you cool with it, and is part of you actually looking forward to what baseball would look like in a modified form, and is it something that you would like to keep intact maybe going forward? 312-644-6767. But I got to tell you, that's a pretty dark, sinister view being taken by a guy like Peter Gammons, who is pure baseball, but man, irreparable damage to the game. I don't agree with that. I don't know where you stand on that, Bruce, but I thought that was a bit much.
Well, you know, I go back to other seasons that have been shortened because of strikes and lockouts, and do people really refer to them as incomplete seasons or seasons that didn't count? You know, now in more recent vintage, you know, 1995, where it was 144 games, going back to 1981, where we lost a couple months of the season in mid-year, and then they went to a first half and a second half winner. So the teams that were ahead in the first half before the strike lockout were deemed winners of the divisions in the first half. After the work stoppage was over with, Mark, then they came back and they played another few months, and those teams were declared winners of their divisions, and therefore they played, you know, the winners of the first, you know, part of the year. Do people go back and say, well, the winners of 1981 being the Los Angeles Dodgers, that doesn't count as a real World Series victory? And my answer to that is no, they don't, because people don't break it down like that, and they don't look at seasons that were incomplete. The only one they look at is 1994, when after 112 games, the season was over and there was no World Series. So I think any type of a season that includes playoffs and a World Series is going to be complete enough for 2020.
312-644-6767. Let's start the calls with Ron on the South Side. Hi, Ron. You're on the Score.
Hello, Mark. Hey, Bruce. You know, guys, certainly as a White Sox fan, and even a baseball in general, it's a lot of excitement and anticipation for the upcoming season. So I'm kind of tempering my excitement a little bit because there's just so much uncertainty. I think with something, a proposal being made tomorrow to the players. So right now, that's just kind of what I'm in. But I'm ready for the game to get started. And again, there was so much promise with the White Sox. Really want to see them. But it's going to be different, but hopefully we can just move on. But maybe when some of these things get sorted out, I think last guys, like somebody said, okay, well, what if somebody tests positive? Well, enough people test positive. Do you stop the season? So, again, that's how I'm proceeding. But anytime I can have baseball, and I'm a big, big radio guy, so I enjoy the game on the radio. So I'll be looking forward to it. You on your show. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ron. And, yeah, we are too. We can't wait to hear games that are of 2020. I mean, it's great hearing Pat and Ron doing games from 2016, but we all want to hear 2020 and Zach and the rest of the crew for sure. I think, Bruce, that the tenor of that call from Ron is was kind of what I was expecting, that just happy to be here. Please, just I want my sport back. Whatever you have to do to it, that's fine, but give it back to me. That's the feeling I got from Ron, and maybe from other people too.
Cautious optimism is the way I would look at it, because fans don't want to hear that the players, the owners, couldn't get this thing figured out because of money. Right, Mark? I mean, you know, what is your concept on? I mean, I will accept that baseball doesn't start because they don't think medically it's feasible in all the cities right now. I will accept that. I will not accept the idea that they couldn't figure out something economically to get this season started. So from your perspective.
Oh, yeah. That would feel like a ripoff. It would feel selfish. I don't think there'd be a whole lot of understanding from both sides if they were not able to get this done. And it's funny, I was just reading some of our text messages at 670-11, and we always like to interact with you there. This particular texter says, in all caps, absolutely looking forward to baseball again and expanded playoff. But if they don't play because of financial reasons, I will truly be angry. Go White Sox. And look, there is a little bit of trauma that has been done to White Sox fans in the past, because this was a first place Sox team when they went on strike in 94. And trust me, that's at the front of every White Sox fan's brain that was sports conscious or old enough at that age to have felt that and to have understood that and feel what they were ripped off of. I would imagine there is that feeling right now, while there's no guarantee the Sox are going to be good this year, but it sure feels like they're going to be good this year. That's got to be weighing on them more than a lot of fan bases with such a promising team this year.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's right, Mark. The idea that the White Sox have in their mind the most competitive team they've had since 2012, when they were leading the American League Central for 112 days before they gave up the lead to Detroit in mid-September that year. This is their best shot. This is their best team. And, you know, even if they're not a 90-win team, just the excitement from looking at the different players that they brought in and the beginning of the careers now of Luis Robert and Nick Madrigal, there's a lot to be optimistic about there. As you said, Mark, there's no guarantee they're going to be a really great team or a team good enough to win, to go to the playoffs this year. But you have to think it's going to be an exciting team to watch all year long, and that they're, the White Sox are going to be relevant again.
Yeah, and, you know, with the youth on that team, they're going to be built for a scenario like this for sure, where it's going to be fast and furious. How about Japanese baseball getting set to return? They have a date. Japanese baseball will start on June 19th without fans. The league commissioner, Atsushi Saito, made the announcement, I guess it would have been today, this morning, it says Monday, after an online meeting with representatives of the league's 12 teams. He says, quote, "I hope we can provide some guidance for sports other than professional baseball." So they will, at least Major League Baseball, will get to see how things work, see how things look, see what the logistics feel like. Especially from the no fans standpoint. And I do think that is obviously something that our listeners understand, that you just can't have fans in the stands. Some people believe that changes things more than others. I don't know, Bruce. I feel like there's probably a faction of players who probably will be better off without fans pressing on top of them. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure about that, Mark, because they all get used to it and perform, you know, coming up through the minor leagues. Maybe you're right. As soon as they get to the majors and you see a second deck in the stadiums, the performance changes for some players. But I'm hoping that this is the, if and when we get baseball back, it's the beginning of better marketing of the sport. And by that, I mean miking up baseball players for TV and even radio to the point where, hey, you don't have the crowd noise to deal with. You have players at their positions. You want to hear what they're having to say. You want to hear what they're thinking. Can they do it without distracting other players? Or will pitchers turn around and looking at a second baseman like Javier Baez, or you know, the White Sox shortstop looking at and knowing they're mic'd up and they make an error and say, you know, take that earpiece out and, you know, let's play baseball again. But this is a true time where baseball can experiment with some unique marketing things without fans in the stands. And I hope they take advantage of that time, and the players and the owners are smart enough to know that this is a chance to remarket the sport with a different way and a more personal way of presenting the players to the fans.
Coming up at 11 o'clock on this show, Brad Biggs will join us. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Tribune. Les Grobstein at 11:40. But coming up next, about 5 minutes from right now, we will bring in Casey Johnson, Bulls insider for NBC Chicago. We'll see what the plan is for the NBA, how viable it is, and what it might or might not mean for the Chicago Bulls. It's Mark Grody and Bruce Levine in for Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.